Well, good morning. We're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit the next few weeks. I'm going to kick off with the topic here in a few minutes. I just wanted to say thank you for investing in yourself. Sunday school is one of my favorite parts, and Wednesday school, if you want to call it that. I love it because we kind of go a little more in depth in teaching around the CLC campus, and it's always a good time. So appreciate you being here. And I hope that we're able to maybe see a lot of familiar faces, at least solidify what we already know, and maybe inspire or rekindle what we already know or what we've heard before in the past. But I want to start out with just a little bit of a story, and then we'll segue to the topic. So, does anybody know where Arthur, Tennessee is? Well, Arthur, Tennessee is nestled between Harrogate and Powell Valley. Does anybody know where Lincoln Memorial University is? How about Cumberland Gap? Yeah. All right, so that's where I grew up. But Arthur, Tennessee, just a couple miles from Kentucky and Virginia, there's a church called Spirit and Truth Worship Center. And about 25 years ago, there was a multi-night revival going on. I probably have the date somewhere in an old Bible or something, or maybe not. There was a multi-night revival, and this is where I had my upper room experience. I received the Holy Ghost right around 25 years ago with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so I hope you can remember when you received it, or if you're still seeking it, I pray that God fills you soon. But I remember a few things, and I wrote these down because very special. My youth pastors were praying with me, Avery and Regina Morgan. Pretty sure my mom, Tina Smith, in the back there, and a friend of our family, Liz Parton, might have been praying with me, at least at one point. A lady named Penny Blevins was praying with me. This was a couple years before Cheryl and I actually met. So if you know Penny Blevins and her relationship to me, I did not know her as my mother-in-law at this point in my life. She was just a dear saint who wanted to support me as I prayed. I was friends with Daniel. We played Little League football and stuff together. And so we started going to church there when I was about 12, Spirit and Truth Worship Center. But I just remember, I remember these faces. There might have been more. I was kind of out of it. I was quote-unquote drunk in the spirit, if you will. I believe some of us know what that feels like. A little bit discombobulating, but magical, euphoric experience. So there may have been others. I was in the altar for a while. I mean, it seemed like a week. I was one of those tough ones. I was one of those people. Maybe I had too much pride left. Maybe I had too many curiosities left. But it took me a minute to get to a point to where God would fill me. So anyway, none of those people that I mentioned, though, they were so happy to be there for me. None of them were too tired. None of them complained. Nobody was impatient. And I will say this, none of them manipulated me or coached me on how to get the Holy Ghost. They just prayed with me and supported me, would comfort me, maybe a pat on the back, maybe hold my arms up in the air as I was praising the Lord. There was no it was really special. So, this was obviously a turning point in my life, and I'm very thankful that I've been striving to live for Him for 25 plus years now. So I was gonna check my clock. It only took me about 2 minutes to start crying. Now, that's a world record. That is a special memory of me receiving the Holy Ghost. And I will say, so of those 25 years, I'm trying to get some of my personal thoughts out here because I want to provoke your thoughts as well. Of the 25 years that I've been filled with the Spirit, I don't know if I've effectively walked in the Spirit. Maybe six years out of 25. When I say 6 years, what I mean is there's more of a consistency to how I pray and how I try to listen and discern what the Spirit is telling me. So I say that to say I'm not an authority on this topic whatsoever, but I'm thankful to be filled with the Spirit, and I'm thankful to share this opportunity with you to explain what the Holy Spirit is and what its role is in our lives today. So, we'll read from John. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, capital H, capital G, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. All right. First, the Holy Spirit is God. On your handouts, you'll have some scriptures and a few of my talking points, but here's more that I wanted to supplement, so feel free to jot those down. They're on the screen. We'll go with Acts as an opener here. The Holy Spirit is God. So Acts 5, verses 3 through 4, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Correlation here, Holy Ghost is God. You're lying to God if you lie to the Holy Ghost. Lying to the Holy Ghost is lying to God. And the more you read this stuff, if you haven't been in a church that teaches sound doctrine such as CLC, in that there is one God, once you see this stuff, you can't unsee it. It is very crystal clear throughout the Bible that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is divine, unified, one person, not three. The Holy Spirit is the same one true God active in the world and dwells inside of us. Genesis 1 and 2, I'm going to put that one on there. I love this. And the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit. It's always been. Just like God has always been. Romans 8 and 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. See how this is bringing God, Christ, Holy Spirit all together. These are great scriptures to have at the ready. If you've got friends, family, co-workers who have doubts or who have heard certain things their entire life, and they're like us, they're just like us, they have traditions that they stick to. And so they trust those traditions sometimes more than they trust the source of which the tradition might have been a byproduct of. So I remember one time in high school just simply asking, and I was probably being a little bit of a jerk. Truth be told, I hadn't had the Holy Ghost very long, maybe 2 years, so I was probably not managing it very well. but I did ask a friend of mine in high school. His name was, and he lived at, I'm just kidding, I won't tell you who it was, but it was about 120 miles from here. So I said, show me in the Bible where the word Trinity is. Just show me. That's all I want you to do. It's in there. Okay, well, just please show me. Please show me. And he could not do it. And, let me go home. And he had a Bible with him. And I said, this is it, right? King James, show me. And so I was not using the Holy Spirit very wisely. I was being a little bit provocative. At the same time, if I would have softened my approach, I think I could have got the same point across. See, 25 years Holy Ghost would have done that a lot different than 2 years Holy Ghost. So there is a process with learning how to manage yourself under the influence of the Spirit. Okay. So, but anyway, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Jesus, after ascending to heaven, comes to dwell in us as believers as the Holy Ghost. Use these scriptures. They are very helpful. They are undisputed, really. It's very hard to do like a scientific methodology and prove that these scriptures say something else. Let's look at John 14 and 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus promised he himself would return to his disciples, not physically, but spiritually through the Holy Spirit. We, as those who believe in one God, know that Jesus is the Comforter, not a separate person. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is Jesus himself returning spiritually to dwell in his people. So I was kind of teasing this thought earlier when we were just chatting before class, and I found an interesting connection last night, and I said, hey, man, I got to do this. This is what the Holy Ghost wants me to add here. But so Paul in the New Testament in chapter 28 of Acts makes a quick reference to the prophet Isaiah. So I'll read Isaiah first, okay? It's not on here. I want you guys to take notes and look at this later yourself. But Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I mean, the remainder of that is a little bit different context, but he heard the voice of the Lord, okay? Paul, in Acts, makes mention of Isaiah. So Acts 28 and 25, Paul said, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaias, which is the Greek word for Isaiah, or Greek spelling name for the name Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers. So well spake the Holy Ghost. What he's saying is the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Okay? So Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. Paul has this revelation that, and he understands and he knows with all of his heart, the Holy Ghost influenced Isaiah. Just something to think about. I think it's powerful. I think it's a cool connection. My point here basically is that revelation is that the Holy Spirit is what inspired the words of the prophet Isaiah. It's all the same. And we know from Genesis 1 and 2 that the Spirit moved on the waters, right? So it's not something that just poof, magically happened, came into being when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Ghost and the Spirit are eternal. So let's move on a little bit here. Now it's time to hear you. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is God? I hope so. So that's kind of rhetorical. But if not, what questions do you have, or better yet, what questions do you get from friends, family, coworkers about the oneness of God? Give me a couple examples, please.
In Genesis, during creation, God says, we, and that's one that I get.
I'm writing this down, by the way. I'm not just checking football scores. I don't care anything about football. The teams I love are an emotional roller coaster, and I'd just rather not watch them. Do you remember what chapter of Genesis?
No.
Okay. But Genesis, when it's talking about we.
Right. When they talk about making.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to answer this. I want to take these away. What other questions we have? Because what we ought to be doing is taking these questions, studying them out, and having at our disposal, I don't want to call it ammunition, because that seems like the wrong spirit. That sounds like 16-year-old Holy Ghost Cody. We want to have at the ready biblical context as to why we believe what we believe. So that's a great one. That might be the winner.
I think it's a good point, Cody, about we don't have to have the answers. We're not there to be biblical scholars, but we're there to learn alongside that person. It helps our personal development, but it also shows we don't have the answers, and this is how we seek it out, as opposed to, here, give me an answer, and I'll either decide if I like that or not. You get to search the scriptures with that person. I think the value in that and the growth in that is beyond just giving an answer.
That's tremendous. Yes. And great reminder. Don't just regurgitate something you heard from the pulpit unless you've searched it out yourself.
Well, and to build on that, what you see is going to be different from what other people see.
Right.
So I might understand something a bit different than the other person. Obviously, you'll come to the same conclusion upon studying with that person, or at least I hope you would. But, yeah, no, different points of view will help build both of you.
And if you've been filled with his Spirit, as we read earlier, I mean, it helps us to understand things on a different level, and you've got to give that person who maybe is unchurched or uneducated a chance. You can't just be aggressive with them. Show me where it's at. I'm so glad I'm different.
My son-in-law asked me one time, well, who was it that walked through the garden with Adam? And that was just a question he asked me. So, you know, and then he kind of got confused about what he was talking about.
Okay.
But that, I do remember him asking me that one time about the oneness of God.
I'm writing that one down.
Matthew 28:19.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got that one. You write it down though. Okay.
It's important to point out that it's the oneness of God. It's by revelation, like, you know what I mean. So it's important that when you're talking to somebody or working with somebody, like you said, to take the approach of the same way we restore with spirit and meekness. We gotta have that same spirit to show them the oneness, because that comes by prayer, by fasting, and it is a revelation. So it's something that sometimes can't really be taught. You know, it has to be prayed on and meticulously thought out, and you know, so that's the important thing to realize, is it is a revelation.
That is awesome.
Well, especially when you're dealing with people that for their whole lives they weren't born apostolic, or you know, their whole lives they were taught the Trinity.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you come in and say, well, that's all wrong. And that's why your approach has to be very soft.
Yes.
Because for every action, there's an opposite equal reaction.
So the metaphor that comes to mind with that is, you know, you can bring a horse some water, but you can't make them drink.
Right, right. Now, something we can do, you know, as Josh was talking there, what we can do is we can share our testimony. Mm-hmm. For example, for me, I was able to share my testimony in high school about being healed miraculously on a hospital bed. My appendix was about to burst. God healed me. It was great. I'm just trying to keep it short because I'm long-winded, more long-winded than I ever thought I was. But you can share your testimony. That's a gateway. Share your experience and encourage them just to come. If they will come, if they can somehow be in his presence, be led to repentance, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. And at that point, it's like if anybody played video games years ago, I played for about 1 year, then gave up, but you get like bonuses. It just gives you a little bit of boost, and it gets you one step closer to revelation. So we can share our testimony, get them in the house of God, encourage them, share the plan of salvation with them. God will fill them with the Spirit, and God will help them reveal his oneness. Amen. What about who in your life needs this powerful revelation? You can just raise your hand on this one. Who needs it? Do you have at least one person who needs to understand the oneness of God? So that right there should be our like true north. Like, why are we learning about this? What can we do to take away and take it to them? The Holy Spirit. So our second point today, the Holy Spirit is the indwelling power of God. Again, I gave a few extra scriptures that might not be in the handout. We'll kick off with Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That one's kind of right on the nose, right? Let's keep reading. Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They were filled. It's an indwelling. It's pouring into. The experience of receiving the Holy Ghost is evidenced by speaking in tongues. This is part of the new birth experience. Tangent. Just thought of another lesson I'll teach another day when I get a chance. Having the power of God gives us dominion. It gives us the ability to understand, to reveal things in the Scriptures. It gives us the power, guys. I think Kyle shared this in the young married class. He shared about a time where he interacted with a couple ladies. He was working at the church or something on an off night, and he had this opportunity to connect with people, and he passed up the opportunity to pray with them or something. I'm not getting it right, but we have the power to not say, I'll go pray for you at my prayer service next Tuesday. We have the power to say, would you like to pray right now? And if you will just take a step, it's amazing what God will do. You don't have to have confidence necessarily, but you need to put your confidence in Him. Take a step forward, put yourself out there. We have dominion through the power of God. Ministry and witnessing require the Spirit's power, because really, a lot of us are introverted. Without the Spirit, without the revelation, without the experience that we had, a lot of us would just tuck our heads in our shells like a good little turtle and never talk to anybody. So, like you guys. You guys are some of the quietest people I've ever met in my life. Wish more people could be quiet like you guys. Let's read a little scripture here. Ephesians 3:16-17. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Why it matters: the Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man, making the heart a dwelling place for Christ. Supporting our point that the Holy Ghost is the indwelling power of God. I talk a lot. Let's hear you guys again. How many of you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit? Does anybody want to share an experience where it's just undeniable it had to be the Holy Ghost? Go for it, brother.
When I walked into an apostolic church at 18, I just graduated basic training. I was a borderline atheist, definitely an agnostic, and I literally told God, if you're there, prove it. I walked in the back door of an apostolic church and felt the power of God. There was no denying it. No one even spoke to me yet in the church. But just the sheer power of God, the sheer power of the Holy Spirit. You can't deny it once you feel it.
I was similar. I didn't believe in God really either. At the age of 15, going into church, and I went because my friend went. I didn't even care to go, right? And I just started going because they were going, out of just habit. I was bored, honestly. And God used that to get a hold of me. But first thing that drew me was the music. I'm like, man, this music just sounds different than other churches. It sounds, it's just powerful. It's strong. And that's what eventually hooked me. Started praying, and a couple months went by. I was in a camp meeting. I don't even remember really what happened. I remember walking up there and I just blacked out in the spirit. They said I was speaking in tongues for like an hour on the floor. And since then, God just keeps growing, and as long as you keep seeking Him, He's going to keep filling you up. Your cup's going to continue to overflow, and then other people's going to be able to take part of the overflow. So it was undeniable. That's what made me a believer. It was like Brother Todd said, show me.
Experience.
And he showed me. So
we got time for one more. Anybody else?
I'll go.
Yes, ma'am. Go.
This was in 2011. My dad passed away. And I was having a really hard time because I was staying still. And I had come home from work. Went in the bedroom he used to stay in. And sit in the middle of the bed and just started crying out for Jesus to help me because the grief was killing me inside. And I felt a wind. It's fall. Windows are closed. A wind came in the room, enveloped me. I even heard it. And I felt nothing but pure love. And it felt like somebody was behind me with their arms like this, hugging me. And I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I hadn't started coming here yet. I was crying out to Jesus. And I said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, my daddy. And he hugged me, and I felt it. And that grief, the grief was passing my heart. He thought he was going to have to put me in the dirt. It felt like he pulled it out of me. It felt like a shoestring being pulled out of my stomach. It didn't hurt. and he pulled that grief out of me. And as soon as he did, I quit crying. I didn't cry for a month. And I was crying 24 hours a day for 2 weeks. And I said, I know you're here. I feel you. And it was just the most powerful love I've ever felt. I wasn't apostolic yet. We hadn't even been to church for a while. I mean, I was saved when I was in Bible school when I was 12. I hadn't received the, you know, been baptized in the Holy Spirit or anything like that yet, but I felt it. He took that grief out of me.
Wow.
And I felt it come out of me. It was just like a string being pulled out of me.
That's awesome. Wow. Whew. Wow. Goodness. Just another scripture here. Wow. I hate to make like a disclaimer that sounds very broad stroke here, but our testimonies are so like it trumps everything else, really. Like, I don't know if there's a better way to compel someone to the Lord. So please share that testimony. As much as you can, because that will it's transformative. That's gonna compel. That's gonna have people curious, and they're gonna experience Him. We have to share it. Amen. God is good. That reminds me of years ago. We had some friends, David and Liz Parton. Mom knows what I'm talking about. Probably they had some something going on. I really don't even remember the family dynamic, but I remember they prayed. They prayed in their home, and they rebuked the enemy. And it was not a windy day. The back door opened and closed on its own. Now, look, I'm not trying to get hokey pokey with you here, but I'm telling you that they rebuked the enemy, and something left.
Yes, amen.
All right, 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Why it matters, why the scripture matters, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowers us to guard what God has entrusted to us, which leads us to our second to last point. The Holy Spirit helps us live an overcoming life. I wrote all the bullets down that might be duplicative of your handout, but add some notes here. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins. John 16:8, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. The Spirit awakens the conscience to the need for salvation. I'm so thankful for conviction.
Yes.
I'm so thankful for God's ability to break my will. I'm just thankful. I mean, it's untelling where I would be if I wouldn't allow God to convict me. And I don't want to ever get to a place where He won't. But second thing the Holy Spirit does, I'm sorry for crying. Hey, I'm week one. It's going to get better from here. It's all just an uptick. The second thing it does is it regenerates us and gives us new life. Titus 3:5. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. New birth is the Spirit's work. John 3:5-6. Oh, it's on your handout, maybe. The third thing, it teaches and helps us understand the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Spiritual truth is discerned by the Spirit. He opens our understanding of Scripture. It's powerful. And Josh, we were using a word, just kind of a funny word, juicy. It's like, you know, you eat the meat, and it's like you put it down. Next year when you eat the meat again, there's just more. There's just more every time. It leads and guides us. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. He provides daily direction in decisions we make and discernment. He helps you make decisions like, don't provoke him to find it, and you know it's not there. Going back to my 16-year-old Cody, well, show me where it's at. Show me where Trinity's at. Yeah, prove it. Yeah, come to my church now. Like as if he would come to my church. What a failure I was. And still am. But he leads and guides us. He provides daily direction, decisions, discernment. The Spirit produces spiritual fruit. Galatians 5:22-23. I know y'all read that. But love, joy, peace. The true Christian character comes from the Spirit. And then finally, it intercedes in prayer. Romans 8:26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. It helps us pray when we don't know what to say. Man, what an emotional day. Spirit is amazing. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. Let's discuss some more, though. Tell us about a time the Holy Ghost helped you navigate a situation or circumstance. Let's say it's a difficult situation. Let's just say it's an average situation. Tell us about a time.
I'll share.
Yes, sir.
For us, just moving here, so for the most part, our family was until we got married, and so when we moved here, we had prayed. And we seek to find the right direction to go, because we have Missouri as an option for her school, and here as an option for her school, and Knoxville. And then when we came out here, there wasn't really a whole lot of jobs as far as for me, and there was literally one, and I had one interview, just one out of all the applications that I put in. And when we prayed about it, I got that job. We started trying to find a church. We went around different churches, and I was like, this was a place to be. She was like, we don't need to go to the big church first.
I said, we don't need to come here because it's too far. We were living in Johnson
City.
I
was
like,
that was the furthest away. Let's wait.
And we came
in
here the first day, and it was, we left, and he said, no, I want to go there. And I was like, yeah, okay.
And we went to other churches.
It didn't feel right.
It felt like this was the place to be. And then as we progressed living here, we found a house, and literally there was no fight. It was right in order. And then when we found the house that we lived in now, turns out the people that we bought the house from were Pentecostal.
We're really good friends with them now. Yeah,
that's awesome.
We can't share everything that God did to bring us here, but when it was hard to leave, I was raised in Louisiana, so, but once we decided and once we got on the right, we knew where God was taking us, every single door opened. It was not, we couldn't question it, we couldn't deny that God had his hand on us. So it's, and we, family did not like it. Our pastor back home did not like it, but we knew that we were following God, and he opened every door.
There, literally, no fight. Every step of the way was just one thing after the other. There was no roadblocks. It was...
Amazing.
Where I've had those situations where I'm like, I have to fight past it, trying to shove the door open.
Yeah.
I've had those moments. But this whole situation was just, it was one step after the other. It was undeniable.
God guiding our steps. Yeah. Man, opening doors. Giving things to God is hard to do sometimes when you're when you're Cody, when you're me. And so maybe me and you are similar in some regards, brother, but it is amazing what God will do if you will give it to him. Give it to him. Let's read a little bit further. Unless somebody has a burning thing they'd like to share, please. Yes, Sister Tom.
I want to talk about how the Holy Ghost waits on us. And my youngest sister, she was in church years ago, and she's been in and out, mostly out. And but she was anointed. She was an anointed singer. Yep, my youngest sister. And so this past week, she said just something told her to listen to Brother Dainsworth. And she listened to Wednesday night service, and she was just listening, and she started remembering things that the Lord had done for her. So she just started taking, she said, I got to stop this, I got to take notes. So she took notes on the whole message. She goes, I didn't know he was that good. but you know, I mean, the Holy Ghost hit her strong, and she wanted to come today, but she's sick, and she said, but I'll be listening. And I said, well, why don't you come Wednesday night? That'll be the second part of the series. She goes, oh, I can do that. I can come Wednesday night. So, you know, pray that she will come. And she said she started counting back after she listened to this message. She started counting back, and it's been 30 years that she's been trying to find the thing. And she's never found it. Wow. And she said, I know I can find it there. I know it's there. And she said, I'll be there. So, you know, he waits on us.
God's working in that situation. That is amazing. John chapter 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Some of these are paraphrased, just for the sake of time. But why it matters, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit that it will dwell in us, not just around us. Romans 8 and 9, we might have touched on this one earlier, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The indwelling Spirit marks those who truly belong to Christ. I don't know what this one's going to say. Oh, nice. Ezekiel, and I will put my Spirit within you. This is Old Testament, by the way. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Again, you know, New Testament, fulfilling the Old Testament. The Bible is so cool. I don't even have adequate words to describe how cool it is. I just would say read all the time. We must submit. This is our final step today. We're doing great on time. Thank you so much for the engagement. We got about 5 minutes. We have to submit to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you take health class, and don't be making jokes in your mind, okay? I know how y'all are. But you take the health class, and they teach you about nutrition, and they teach you about macronutrients and all these types of things. It means jack squat until you apply it. Nothing. Just means you got an A, B, C, D, or F. It's worthless. So if you get the Holy Ghost and you choose to just live willy-nilly the rest of your life, what a waste. We have to submit to that Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. A daily surrender to His control and His influence. Do not grieve or quench Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We hinder His work when we resist Him or disobey His Spirit. And we learned at prayer, either this week or the week before, Rachel Kennedy shared a testimony. She's amazing, by the way. She can teach. She can speak. She's so dynamic, so influential, so captivating. But she shared a story. She said she was in a service, and she felt the Spirit saying, go be with this person. She resisted. It delayed. But God sent somebody else. She missed out on that opportunity. You get to be a part of the bigger picture. You get to be a part of what God wants to do if you will follow His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, people letting out early. You got to get on to them, Pastor. That was 2.5 minutes of Sunday school we could have had. All right. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, last one. You can take these home with you if you want to, or you can share now. We still got 2 minutes. I don't know what's up with these backslides. So tell us about a time you resisted the Holy Spirit. I gave you one from Sister Rachel. I didn't even ask for permission, but she said it publicly, so I'm saying it. Tell us about a time you, or on the contrary, tell about a time that you did yield to the Spirit, and what was the outcome? Tell me about a time that you either resisted or yielded to the Spirit. Did Rachel's just trump yours? Y'all ain't got enough. Y'all follow the Spirit every day. Every time you're at Walmart and you're like, that lady looks sad, I'm going to just keep walking.
I've got a couple of my wife.
What you got?
So we were at another church.
Huh?
This fellow went up to get prayer. He was treated rough by a visiting pastor, and he turned around and walked out. Now, this guy is kind of what I call a soup sandwich, but he's got a good heart. So he walked out, but when he walked by, the Spirit just told me to go get him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now I'm nowhere close to that truck queue. I call my, where I should say, he's a queue. You know what I'm saying? So good. I'm not no one special. But it was put in my heart to go out there and heal. So I went back out there and talked to him and kind of talked him not into leaving. Then I took him back into the church and I said, I'll stand up there with you to get prayer.
Love it.
That I'm not. So that visiting pastors asked me if I wanted prayer. I said, no, I'm one of the four that voted me down for prayer.
Yeah.
And I took a case tail with that pastor because I didn't like the way he treated that fella. But he's still in church today, but he was leaving because of the way he was dealt with.
You protected him.
Yeah. Yes.
Thankful for you.
Yes. Thank you.
Guys, we're at the end. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing your stories, your testimonies. God is good. Man, all I can say about today's service, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. We worked hard. It's going to be a great day. All right, you guys have a good one.